Hey witches, how is everybody? Welcome to another episode of Hex Rated, where I, myself, Blackbird, and my friend Scarlet talk about witchcraft and so many other things. This week we are talking about Scarlet's journey to the mushroom world of Interfuse, which is a regional Burning Man, and she did some amazing stuff with the mushroom goddess. So we're going to be talking about that, and hope you enjoy it. As always, thank you for listening.
I put a spell on you.
I saw it. No one else saw it.
Did everybody else see it? Did you see it? Oh, man.
What is new in the witching world?
What is new in the witching world? Well, I mean, this is hot and exciting, but I have a bunch of new bird feeders and bird friends. Can I please tell you that there is a difference between a regular crow and something we have here called a fish crow?
What?
Would you like to know all about the fish
crow?
I'm
assuming it's not a crow mermaid.
No, it is not, but it is a crow that, I mean, by its nature, enjoys fish. It's a coastal crow, basically living in, like, up here in the east coast, and it, like, hangs out in marshes and oceans, which is, we're kind of inland, but it's not that far inland, I guess. It's like an hour. So I guess it's enough to bring the fish crows here. Anyway, I made a friend. He hangs out in the tree and they have a really funny, because you know how a crow's caw is like, kind of like that. I mean, was that good? This one's kind of like, quack, 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 quack. It's kind of cool. Huh. I know, it's fun.
Interesting. I'm very excited. I want to also make a crow or raven or blackbird attracting bird feeder situation so that I can attract a army of crows that will do my bidding.
Well, I keep trying to do that. Here's the deal. So even the fish crows, they're not really, they're like just hanging out in the tree. They're not really eating the food yet. I keep putting out peanuts and guess who steals them all? The fucking blue jays. So the blue jays are bullies. I love them, but they are bully birds. And there's like literally one blue jay that will wait for me to put out a handful of peanuts. And he takes one, flies it away, comes right back, gets the other one. He'll do this until they're all gone. I don't know where he's putting them, but it is the same motherfucker taking them all. So that's happening. There's a lot happening in Bird Corner. Let's see. The yoga room is awesome. I don't know. Hanging out in the yoga room a lot lately with the, you know, the beautiful quilted ceiling.
It's very quilted velvet ceiling.
Very soothing. Very soothing. I mean, that's really it. I mean, oh, and you know, more rocks. Oh yeah. I went to this, metaphysical store that is in Merchantville, which is not far from here.
It sounds like a good place to find some merchants.
There are merchants there. Anyway, it was very cool. And there was a black cat named Merlin that I made friends with.
Oh my gosh.
So that was pretty magical. Very magical indeed. But, oh, sorry. Let's see. So, but, is there anything new with you? Which
one? Not really. I got back from Interfuse and had the worst trip home ever.
Oh no.
So it was Sunday and I was all packed up and I was hitting the road around noon, which means I was going to get home around 7 or 8, which is quite a lot of driving to do by oneself, but not the worst. Nice weather. I wasn't super tired or hungover or anything. And about 30 minutes outside of the campground in the middle of nowhere in Missouri, my alternator just died.
Oh,
so basically
no.
All the electronics in my car turned off and the engine stopped. I couldn't accelerate, so I just had to pull onto the side of the road.
Mm.
And I called my insurance, has roadside assistance for free. But the thing is, they I guess now have independent contractors. So mm-hmm. they have people that can come out and do like a jump.
Yeah.
Or change a tire or something. But then the tow truck people are separate. So right. What ended up happening is they brought out someone to jump me. But it wasn't the battery. It was the alternator.
Right. Which you didn't know.
So the jump didn't help.
Right. You didn't know. Right.
So the jump didn't help. So, you know, it was like over 45 minutes for that person to get out to me and then determined that I needed a tow. So then I was waiting for a tow truck and I'm researching where I want the tow truck to take me. And it's Sunday, so all the mechanic shops are closed.
Of course.
And I'm like, what the fuck? So, and you know, I'm in the middle of nowhere, so they'll tow me for free, like a 10-mile radius. And they're like some smaller towns and things, but not anywhere. I'm 7 hours away from home, so not they cannot tow me close enough to where I need to be.
Right.
So finally, I get a hold of some listing for a mobile mechanic that will come to you. And it turns out they actually do more like diesel and truck stuff, but I guess I sounded fucking pathetic and they're like, we will come help you. But that took a while for them to come out and then, you know, determined that it was the alternator and figured out what kind I needed, had to drive into the next like fairly decent sized town that would have the right kind of alternator in stock. So that was like 45 minutes each way.
Did you just like go with them?
Nope. I'm just, well, because... Yeah, so I'm just waiting in my car.
I don't know. God.
So I was in my hot car with no power and
all
trying
your...
to conserve my phone battery and all my camping
all
shit crammed in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then he gets there and they gave him the wrong thing.
Oh,
so
no.
So then he's going to turn around and get a new one. But at that point, they were about to be closed.
Yeah.
So he went and got a trailer and said, I'll tow you for free to, like, a motel or whatever and we'll get it fixed first thing in the morning. So yeah, basically I was sitting in my car for 10 hours while all this was going on.
Oh my God.
Slept. And then they did in fact come back in the morning, get me fixed up and I drove home.
Holy
so
shit.
I was sitting in my car, either stationary or still for 18 of 36 consecutive hours. So it was not a delight.
Are you okay?
It was sad.
Everything would be broken at this point. Man,
yeah, it was one of those things where it was just like I just had to go into power saving mode in my brain, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, if I start to get bajiggity or upset about this or impatient, I'm gonna go insane.
Well, you can't make the situation something. Any better, right? So
right. I mean,
as somebody
can
that
I do?
Has
like,
also
get
been...
mad and like start walking, like I don't, you know.
I have also been. We also broke down. This was many, many years ago, but I broke down in the middle of fucking Missouri, in the middle of nowhere, Missouri. It was a Sunday. We had to have our car towed. It was like this whole same story.
God, maybe we were both in like the Bermuda Triangle.
It would be weird if it was the
stretch of highway.
Yeah, I mean, I know it was in between St. Louis and Joplin. That's all I know because we were. Going to see my ex-husband's parents and lo and behold, and it was like literally they had to tow us for so far. I mean, it was like 25 miles to the next town. So yeah, it's yes, and it was in the summer. I remember it well. What a joy. So that's terrible, and you know, it's good that you had a good experience at the burn only to have like the worst trip coming home. But now you can just like de-stress from that, right? Right. But what we want to...
I think we actually did, because where I was at
yes.
is basically halfway between St. Louis and Springfield. Springfield would be the biggest town.
Yep.
So it was, like, pretty much right in between those places.
So we might have done, I don't know. I remember.
I was near Lebanon. I was just outside of the teeny tiny town of Lebanon.
That sounds familiar. Honestly, I would know it if I drove that drive again. And weirdly enough, I am going to St. Louis next week. So maybe, I'll do that. Probably not. I think it's bad karma now. What's the third time going to happen? No, I'll just fall into the Bermuda Triangle forever. P.S. No. Bermuda Triangle now in Missouri, everyone. Just saying.
Yes.
Oh, man. So, all right. But so let's, I want to go back to a happier time. A time, time when you were not trapped in Black Sunshine. A time when you were a mushroom.
Yes. I was a teenage mushroom. No, I so was a
for, yeah, for anybody mushroom. That did not listen to last week's what's an episode? It's a very fancy episode. Episode. We talked about Scarlett's trip to Interfuse, which is a regional Burning Man. She told us all about how that works, what that is, what happens, what the cool things were. And so this time we're going to get into the magic of it. And she is going to tell us all about the ritual she did and kind of like working with mushrooms and how the whole theme like affected her. Yes.
Yes.
Did I get that right? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's well. I'll start talking and we'll see what it ends
up being.
We'll
see where it goes. All right. Oh, well, and I mean, we haven't said this yet and I'll probably say it before the episode starts. The episode starts. We are Hex Rated. I am Blackbird.
I am Scarlet.
And we're here to bring you some fucking mushroom journey. So let's do it. Let's get in on
it. Okay. Well, so the theme of this event was Through the Mushroom Ring, which is just built in for all kinds of fun shenanigans and costumes and witchcraft. So that's pretty much what sold me on going. My friends pitched it as we can wear giant mushroom hats and run around and be weird. And I was totally on board with that.
Sold.
So I made myself a giant. I mean, I want to say the diameter of this thing is it was over like a meter. It was 3 feet at least. It's very large.
Very large.
But I made this inky cap mushroom hat for myself. And so it was like gray and purple and black. And then I got all this lace and beading and it had it like dripping down the sides. So inky cap mushrooms are these very fun, cool goth mushrooms that grow in my yard, which is why I know about them. But they look like regular, just kind of like little silver mushrooms. But then after a few days, they will start to liquefy and turn black and get all. So at first, they're like dripping black down the sides. Mm-hmm. And then they keep turning black and melting and they look all creepy and goth. So that was me. And then I had like a lavender pastel goth like kind of outfit going on and like really intense eyelash situation and little mushroom freckles on my face.
Yes.
But one of the things I immediately noticed about having a giant mushroom on my head was I needed a lot of help from people. Because I needed people to make sure I did not bump into things and that they could reach things for me. Because if it was like under an awning or, you know, whatever, if I was going to bonk my mushroom, I would have to be like, I'd have to stretch out my arms and be like, please hand that to me. Which I hate. I hate asking for help for things. Like it to me, it takes like five times as long and I hate it.
Right.
And I also walk really fast. I always want to be in front. So just the very act of like being this like really frilly pastel girly sort of helpless mushroom was kind of a fun different character to be.
Yeah.
How
did it make you feel?
Well, I was also getting a lot of compliments on my mushroom hat and my outfit and my boots and my makeup and my dancing. So I was feeling pretty good.
Feeling pretty good.
All the compliments.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, but being the helpless part, did it make you?
Yeah.
Like,
no, it was actually kind of fun because, like, it kind of gave me sort of like a childlike sort of element of
right.
like not feeling like I needed to be in charge
right.
or bossy or
exactly.
like. It cut down on a lot of my impatience to like go places or get something or do this, you know. I was kind of having to like go at other people's pace. Yeah. Which was actually kind of freeing. Like, you know, so I wasn't putting that pressure on myself to be sort of like managing the itinerary and being like, let's get here at this time and this, you know, and let's
kinda
keep
nice,
this pace.
Right?
Yeah.
That's kind so of how I really live nice. My life. Just let other people fucking cruise direct. I'm not doing it. Just kidding.
Well, and also the good thing was that it also generated a lot of interactions with other people besides right. my campmates, because, you know, I had people asking me about the hat or like, you know, noticing that they would have to like make way for me.
Right.
Right. You know, it just was a good conversation starter.
Yeah. That's
so,
kind of fun.
But I knew that I wanted to do a ritual for our camp.
Right.
And I was very excited about the sort of, cause I was like, well, I mean, the whole idea of traveling through a mushroom ring into the fairy realm is giant. Is there are whole systems of witchcraft devoted to this symbolism.
That's
so I was
right.
like, well, there's just a lot built into this. At the same time, because this was a few months ago, and I was spending a lot of time while I was watching hockey or doing other things, messing around with the Bing AI chatbot.
Oh, yeah.
And I was asking it to help me brainstorm, like, ideas for a mushroom goddess ritual. So I sort of made up this sort of chaos magic style mushroom goddess, capital M, capital G, that we would do some kind of ritual towards. And she was just going to sort of represent the mushroom kingdom as an archetype instead of like a particular goddess
right.
from mythology that is associated with mushrooms. And so I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And I knew that I kind of wanted to have the vibe or the prose or the poetry of it be sort of old world and Victorian, maybe, because I think like of a lot of folk magic and sort of that retro folklore, folk occultism, like country magic of England in particular, that was sort of revived in the Victorian period, because there was a huge craze for like fairy stuff and fairy lore.
Yeah.
And sort of looking into the deeper symbolism of that and identifying it as specific to the places that it originated in, and something that people can be proud of, and something that's like worthy of study and can reveal things about the culture or the place or those traditions. So anyway, just a lot of fun stuff to work with. So I definitely wanted it to have that tone.
Sure.
And then I wanted to definitely have crossing the mushroom ring be a part of it.
Yes.
So this idea of like you are crossing into a ring that is like basically a portal to another realm. So the experience of going into the portal and also either safely returning or preparing yourself so that you can come and go at will or whatever. And then I also wanted to do sort of like some kind of sacrament or something where like we all ritually like consume the mushroom.
Right.
And I have these, they're so good. If you've never tried them before, they're these freeze dried snacks at Costco that are like seasoned shiitake mushrooms.
Ooh.
And so they're seasoned. It's almost like they have like sort of a soy sauce or like teriyaki kind of salted flavor. They're very umami, kind of truffly flavored. But they're just super crunchy freeze-dried mushrooms.
And you just, like, so eat them like potato chips.
Yes. Oh, my God. They're so good.
Yeah.
So I got those. And then, of course, some people also had these special psychedelic type of mushrooms.
Yes.
So I was like, you can either bring your mushrooms that you want to ritually consume, or you can just have one of these tasty mushrooms, or you can have both. Choose your own adventure.
Right.
But people like seem to be really into the idea of ritually consuming their drugs.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually, because to me, as a person who's a giant square that has like done drugs either very infrequently or never, depending on the variety, I would only really be interested in doing that like in a magical context.
Right.
You know? And try to really honor, to the best of my ability, the native or indigenous or traditional use of these medicines,
right,
and try to do it in some sort of intentional way, right, as opposed to just like
I'm a teenager
like smoking and drinking and eating whatever mystery pills come into my possession, you know?
Right, right.
But I acknowledge, which I had never really thought about before, that most people's experience is not that. That right. They usually do these things recreationally and they have fun and maybe they do have spiritual experiences, but it's usually not framed in right. that context. So I right. think a lot of people were very curious to participate in any kind of ritual at all.
Yeah.
But they were also interested in setting an intention or, you know, doing mushrooms in a ritualized context.
Now,
so
question.
People were very excited about that. Yes, go ahead.
I have a question. Was this for just your camp or did you open it up to others?
It was originally just for our camp. And as happened at Atomic Falls, there were a few random passerbys that ended up just kind of joining in.
Okay. But that was fine.
So,
you were fine
yes.
with that. Okay.
But so we're talking about like a dozen people or so.
Okay. So smallish.
In this circle. So,
okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
So, and we did it around because they were going to do the effigy burn a little bit after sunset, which would have been like 8:15. So we got started around 7:30.
Is it the first day or like the first full day?
This was on Saturday because originally when I did the ritual at Atomic Falls, that one was sort of like an initiation.
That's kind of what this one feels
like,
too.
Or sort of like to set the... Well, this one was sort of more like a celebration
okay.
of the Mushroom Goddess. Because we were having certain campmates coming and leaving at different times.
Yeah.
We weren't going to really have a critical mass for Thursday night. So we decided to do it Saturday night because everyone was definitely going to be there.
Yeah.
And to do it slightly before the effigy burn because... you know, it kind of flowed into these two ritualistic things. So,
right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Unfortunately, the theme of it was not specific to an initiation or like a time, like a beginning of the event.
Right. Right.
Purpose necessarily.
No, I get it. Got you. Okay.
So that was what I sort of came up with. The main thing before I jump into the actual text of it was in contrast to the one I did. So this would be the, I guess, the second public ritual I've ever conducted.
Yeah, man.
I learned a ton from the first one. But what's different about this one is that the first one used basically the same template that we use for a lot of our uncoven rituals that
right.
we have between ourselves in my house. And over the years, we've sort of developed these... three corners or three colors, three goddess archetypes that we usually invoke instead of doing a circle. So one thing that I do that is different is I don't usually actually cast a circle and I usually don't invoke any elements or set up a sacred space necessarily. We usually just call on these forces to kind of get us in the vibe and sort of ground and center. And then, we do like offerings to like the ancestors and to our spirit guides and to the spirits of place and things like that.
Right.
But, so I had that as like sort of the basic structure of my other ritual, but I found that I had so much really good material to work with of invocations and, kind of lyrical prose that I came up with about that because I just really got carried away and ended up having to keep editing it down and down and down and down.
Yeah.
So I ended up not really doing any of that. One of the things with the first public ritual I did for Atomic Falls is I was very concerned about not, and this is a issue I have even when I just have people that I know very well over at my house. I don't want to just be standing still reading from a script and having other people just kind of watch me
read
and sit there.
Yeah.
Like that is not very interesting. Like if I wanted to do that, I could just have emailed everybody the thing and we could have just, you know, read it at our leisure. But
it's more fun when there's participatory shit going on.
Right.
Right.
And I've mentioned this before, but I want to create a space where people who do want to participate do not feel like they are going to do something wrong
right.
or that they if they're doing something differently or if if they want to invoke their own guides, or if they feel like they want to sit down, or they feel like they need to clap, or like whatever it is, like you should totally feel free to do it and not feel like everyone's going to stop and look at you, or right. it's going to ruin the ritual and we're going to have to start over or some right. bullshit, you know?
Right.
On the other hand, like there are people who are like curious and want to do it, but they don't know what to expect. They don't know what kind of feels they're going to feel. They don't know if this is going to be for them or not. So I don't want people to feel put on the spot.
Right. Either. Like give them an out basically.
Yeah, yeah. If you just want to observe that is considered participation in my book.
Right.
So, I also don't want people to feel like before things get started that they're going to be asked to stand up and do something in front of everybody and right. not.
Right.
You know, feel like they are being put on the spot.
Sure.
So, so basically I started out with, really simple supplies. I just had a little crystal dish of wine, a little crystal dish of honey, the mushrooms, mm-hmm. and then I have a little cinnamon bark broom brush. It's like about the size of my palm, mm-hmm. but I got it around the holidays from Trader Joe's. So it smells like cinnamon and it's like a little besom. So I use that to asperge people with incense, and so it's very prop minimal. I felt like my other ritual the year before was fairly prop heavy because I had three different materials that I used to walk the circle and kind of evoke it. I had some tools that I was using. I spent a lot of time making the little chapbooks with the ritual in it, like small and cute, and yeah. I got like black card paper to put over it, and I like I hand drew a sigil on it, and I made these like little sachets with like grave dirt and bones yeah. and it has like a little talus. So there was a lot of stuff, which I think is great. Like I've always enjoyed rituals where I get some stuff.
Sure.
But I didn't really have time to put that much effort into crafting because I was doing so much other crafting.
It's also in keeping with the whole leave no trace thing. Like I think it's good that you didn't come with, you know, a bunch of stuff. Now, but in your supply list it also says fairy ring, so please tell me what that was.
So I had two strings of battery operated little mushroom lights.
All right.
And I knew right away, I was like, this is gonna be perfect. I'm gonna make like a circle of it. Yep. And then so right away the choreography issue was going to be having this circle and then crossing into the circle.
Okay.
Because normally if you're casting a circle, it's more like you cast the circle and you cast yourself into it. And it's like this bubble.
Like protecting. Yeah.
It's either protecting you from things on the outside getting in or holding in your energy to create this, you know, magical space or whatever.
Right.
So I knew that we were going to basically be standing in a outside the circle, set up this mushroom ring circle and then dramatically cross into it.
Right.
So that made the choreography of it kind of inside out. So one of the things that I did like about the other ritual was when I made those talismans,
mm-hmm.
people really liked them. And I carefully crafted this statement for everybody that I thought would be sound witchy and cool and badass, obviously. Would be easy for me to remember and say, but would have a little bit of a narrative, or it would be very densely coded to be informative to people about what it was, what was happening, and have there be a sort of participation element.
Okay.
Which was, I would hand them this thing, and I said, I offer you protection from harm, thirst, and fear. So the first element of that, I offer you, I wanted to make it like a statement of I am offering something to you as opposed to I am blessing you. I am doing a thing at you.
Right.
So I wanted to make it something that is voluntary that sure. you can choose to accept or not. And before I started, I said, you know, if anything's happening where you don't want to participate or I want to hand you something, or I'm going to be doing something energetic and you don't want it, That is totally fine. You can just cross your arms over your chest, or you can just say no thank you.
Right.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And both times I've given that disclaimer, I've had people where I could tell that they were kind of like, okay, okay, you know, like kind of putting that in their back pocket. But I've so far have not had anyone that was like,
but I think that's like great. Like I've been in rituals like that, you know, especially when we were going to Pantheacon, where I feel much better when somebody gives other people, like I'm always going to probably want to participate, but like, I like the fact that people are thoughtful enough to say, hey, we get that this might not be the thing for you. And sometimes maybe you're just not feeling the energy in the room. So like, you know, it's okay to say no. Consent.
Right. Well, I think just giving people the opportunity that like, there's not going to be stuff that is happening at them or to them.
Yes.
That they won't know that they don't like until it's already happening. Right. And then it's too late.
Yes.
So I think just knowing that some people who probably would have been like, well, I don't know if this is going to be my jam. I'm just not going to show up, period.
Right.
Felt more comfortable to be like, well, I can always either back away slowly or I can, you know, say no thank you or cross my arms or whatever and just observe.
Right.
So that's really important to me. So the I offer you, I think is important because it's a conversation. You know, I'm looking someone in the eye and I'm offering them something and they can either accept or decline.
Right.
So there's already a participation element. And I think that also because I'm offering someone a talisman, I don't want to communicate that somehow I am the high priestess and I have the authority or ability or something to bestow blessings or whatever on people.
Right.
Like, I don't think that I'm cleansing or purifying or blessing anybody. But I'm offering them something that is a talisman or protection. And, you can either accept it or not.
Right.
You know? So, right. And I chose the word harm, thirst, and fear. Thirst is a big one with any of these events because getting dehydrated is like a really big problem and sure. People tend to wildly underestimate how much water they need.
A lot.
And then I said harm because there's a bunch of harm. Like you could break your arm in a ball pit. You could, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of harm.
Sure.
And then I chose fear because I think that that's the thing that a bunch of people struggle with. And like whether the source of your fear is real or imagined, it doesn't matter because if you are feeling fear, it's real enough.
That's right.
I mean, you're feeling a real feeling,
yep.
Whether you are imagining the source or not.
Right.
So, and also the idea of fear of being experimental, fear of interacting with people, fear of missing out, lots of different kind of fears. So
sure.
I felt like that kind of packed a lot of important information into a very simple sentence.
Yes.
So basically we stood around in a circle and I had my little booklets. Everybody really, really enjoys the booklets, I find.
Yes.
I don't know if I just hang out with a lot of very literary people.
I mean.
But like giving everyone a minute or two while I was setting up to read through it.
They loved
ahead
it.
Of time, people really enjoy it. And like I had people like raise their hand before we got started.
Someone really?
Was like, excuse me, I have a question. Like just first line supplies. It says aspergillum. And they're like, what is an aspergillum? Oh. I was like, well, we will get to that. But it is very simply put, just a fan.
Just a fan.
Kind of.
And maybe some juice, right?
You know, and I told people, you know, if you want to read along or chime in, snapping, stomping, clapping, whatever you want to do, if you want to stand up, if you want to back up, if you want to get closer, if you want to sit down, all of those things, you're more than welcome. You can start laughing. Nothing you're going to do is going to be inappropriate or wrong, or we're going to turn around and look at you. So,
right.
I so far haven't really had too many people just like be like, oh, hey, in my tradition, we do this invocation and I'd like to do it now. You know, like I haven't really had anyone like get that that forward. But people seem to be very reassured by this. So anyway, the very first I did a statement of intent, which we don't normally do.
Right.
But I felt like for a group of people that are total magic noobs that haven't really done any kind of ritual or religion at all anywhere. And especially because this ritual is kind of non-traditional and sort of it's more about a vibe or a feeling or sort of introducing this character of the mushroom goddess.
Right.
So I thought that was really important to do a statement of intent and have everyone kind of just stand together and listen. And so I will read that for you now.
Okay.
We are here to invoke the mushroom goddess, the lady of the ring and the grotto. She rises from the rotting earth, a widow of decay. She weaves her spells with spores and dust, a witch of poison. She wears a crown of crimson caps, a queen of life. She is the mushroom goddess, the hidden power in the dark, the mother of mysteries and magic, the beauty and the mark.
Ooh, I like that. I love the last line, of course. But I love she weaves her spells with spores and dust. Beautiful. A queen of life. Oh, that's really, yeah, powerful.
I felt like I got a few like kind of snaps and like sort of people that were kind of getting into the, because that was another thing I was brainstorming. I obviously the whole theme of this was like mushrooms. So sort of like things that are cute. Things that are sweet, sort of this like whimsical Alice in Wonderland thing. Mm. But like mushrooms IRL.
Can fucking kill you.
Well, they can be poisonous. Yeah. They feed on dead, decaying things. It's rot. It's fungus. Yes. So there's an ickiness to it.
Right.
And I wanted to really play on both. So I was trying. I was like, she rises from the rotting earth. I was like, that's pretty fucking metal. But, you know, I didn't want to. But she wears a crown of crimson caps.
Yeah.
It's cute. You know, like, so that's like magical and very fey. And so I wanted to try to get a little bit of that. So I thought that set the tone. And then I was going to asperge everybody. So basically, I just had some really good smelling incense and my little cinnamon broom. And I explained, like, I don't think that I am blessing you. I don't think you need to be cleansed. I don't want to, you know, like, basically douse you guys in hand sanitizer.
Right.
That's not necessary. But I would like to offer you, you know, sort of this energetic exchange that is designed to offer you protection from harm, thirst, and fear. And I was like, and if you do not want this incense or cinnamon like near you because you're allergic or you just don't want it or what, you don't need to tell me. You don't have to participate. Or if you don't want me like putting energy at or near you, that's also fine. So just, and of course, I didn't have anyone say that they didn't. But I think that like saying that that's an option, as I mentioned before,
for sure,
really puts people at ease and lets them know that it's something that is voluntary. It's not something that is being done to them or at them.
Right.
So, and then we did some invocations. So okay. Here is what that text was.
I'm ready.
And like I said, it's a lot of reading and it was like a lot of words and it was basically just me sort of, so I walked around the group to kind of give everybody their little, asperging with the smoke and the scented cinnamon broom. And so this was kind of just standing there, but I felt like I got people, because you obviously have to do like a really dramatic reading. And I think the fact that people had the books to read along with and everything helped. But this is something that if I probably did it again, I would really re-rack and think about if it's too much standing around and listening. But I feel like the general vibe was that it was fine and people enjoyed it. So,
all right.
Here are the invocations.
I'm ready.
Hail, O mushroom goddess, you who are ancient and wise, you who are hidden and mysterious, you who are fruitful and poisonous. You have many names and forms. You are Percinet, the maiden in the tower. You are Morgan, the sorceress of Avalon. You are Mim, the mistress of transformation. Thou hast a power that none can comprehend, to charm the mind with visions fair or foul, to heal the wounds that mortal life doth rend, or to inflict the plagues that rack the soul. We invite you to our circle, to bless us with your presence and magic, to teach us your secrets and spells, to share with us your gifts and curses.
Love it. Love.
So when I did that last part, people audibly were like, ooh, like, ooh, gifts and curses. Like,
I want both, please. The middle, though, you know, I love a rhyme. Very nice. Very nicely done. Yeah, this is that's, oh, yeah, I'd be excited.
What's and I didn't want to go overboard with the sort of retro old timey language.
Right.
But I did. Thou hast a power.
No,
that
I know.
None can comprehend.
You got the one little verse in there that's like that. And that's good enough. No, this is great. So like, I'm sure everybody's just like on the edge of their seats at this point. Right. What's going to happen?
Right.
Now?
So we've got people that are kind of either standing or sitting in their lawn chairs or squatting. And I had two helpers that I was like, hey, I'm going to stomp my foot. And that means turn on these mushroom lights because I really wanted them to like turn on dramatically.
So yes.
I was like, OK, now I'm going to conjure the ring. And so I say, by the power of the mushroom goddess, the queen of spores and secrets, I seek to enter her hidden realm through the portal of the fairy ring. So then I had everybody, we were going to walk around the circle counterclockwise.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one of my really fun, like very outgoing friends sort of immediately volunteered. I was like, let's, because I made a little chant, and we've done this in rituals too, where sometimes you get a little too poetried out and make a chant that is too long and no one can remember
yes.
it. And it takes too long for everyone to get into a rhythm.
Yeah.
So this one was pretty short, but I basically split like everyone like from me to halfway around the circle was going to follow my lead. And then the other group was going to follow my helper's lead. And so the chant was going to be, make a ring of mushrooms coil where we dance upon this soil.
I love it.
So so half the group was chanting the first line. The other group was chanting the second line. So we started to do that and walked around the ring. And everyone kind of just got with the program. Like, we sort of, like, I didn't know if people were going to want to walk around. And, you know, like I said, people were sitting in chairs and stuff. So,
yeah.
But everyone kind of figured out, like, yeah, okay, we're going to walk around the circle. I think also because it was inside out, like, because the circle was in the middle and we were outside of it.
Yeah.
Maybe made people feel, like, less creepy about, I don't know, because they were like, well, I can always not jump in the ring.
This all sounds so awesome. I don't know why you wouldn't want to do all of it, but okay. Like, right.
So we start doing the chant, and everybody gets it right away. Breaking it into two different groups definitely helped. And I think also having somebody that wasn't me sort of get involved.
Sure.
Sort of helped everybody else feel comfortable. Like, oh, if this person that is seeing this completely for the first time.
Like, they're also comfortable, doing it. Right.
Yeah. So we started walking, and it's hard to say how long it took. But, you know, at first we were chanting. And we got into the rhythm where both groups kind of figured it out, and we were kind of getting faster and faster and stomping, and people started clapping, and then it was getting louder and louder. And then we always talk about, there's this moment where it just stops. Everyone just stops together. And then we all jumped. So I think I probably started, but everyone else did it too. And commented on it immediately. So we're pacing. We're chanting, taking turns. So one group's doing their chant, the other group, and we're walking, and it's getting faster, and no one kind of has any idea like how long it's gonna go or
right.
what we're gonna do. And then we just all jump, like,
all at the same
time.
Jump
in.
Oh
yes,
what? That is bananas. You're kidding.
And everybody, literally, like multiple people, as they landed, were like,
what the?
Whoa, we all just, that was so fast. Like, how did,
magic,
was, like,
bitch.
Amazed. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, that is crazy. But, you know, stuff like that has happened to us too. You
know, yeah. When well, it was,
it's
it
like
was
there's an instinct.
Really,
yeah, there's just an instinct that happens when you're in that group. It's like whatever, hive mind or whatever. And then all of a sudden you're just doing something at the exact same time. And it's like, so that's awesome. Okay.
But yeah, everyone just kind of felt compelled to jump. And like, people, as they were landing, were like, what the fuck? Holy shit. Like, how did I
That's
know?
Amazing.
To just, we just all knew to do it.
And they jumped
really,
into
really
the
moment.
Ring, like into it.
Yeah.
Ugh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
And so, and I didn't know that we were going to jump so dramatically at the
right.
end of the chant. So
right.
I had this other little thing about crossing it.
Sure.
So this is kind of just more like hey, we're in the ring now.
Now so it's the day to
once, once everyone kind of simmered down from that like high of sort of building this energy, I said, as we enter her ring, we enter her domain, we cross this threshold between worlds, we open ourselves to her influences and her inspiration, we surrender ourselves to her will and her way. I cross the threshold of the circle to join the dance of the unseen. And so then I kind of like stomped and like did a, and everybody, you know, was like, yeah, and clapped and stuff. So, and then this is where I kind of went back to the top of the circle where I was set up, where I had my incense and my booklets and everything. So yeah. As I said, I have a, this is hilarious. So I have this little, smaller than like a little sake cup, crystal dish. Right. And I had honey in it. And then I had another one that had like a little bit of wine. And then I just had a plate with these freeze-dried mushrooms on them.
Right.
So, and I said a little bit about, you know, we use honey and wine and some other elements like salt and whatnot in our rituals because they're substances that don't go bad. And honey is very magical. It doesn't go bad. So I held it up. I go, this is your sweetness, which flows from your essence and nourishes your kindred. And I was like, and you're welcome to come, like, if you want to like have a little bite of it. And three people immediately, I don't know if they were just like got the munchies, but they were like, yeah. And so they put their fingers in it and start like licking it. And I was like, well, okay, well, before you do that, I'm just warning you, this is graveyard honey. And it says on it for entertainment purposes, but I eat it and you're totally fine. And I was really proud of my friends that no one freaked out and like spat it out after I was like, yeah, this. So this honey is from Louisiana and they have those above ground tombs.
Yeah.
So basically a hive of bees built their hive inside this tomb.
Amazing.
And of course the family members were like, we don't want all these bees in our family tomb. So this bee rescue group relocated the hive, but as in doing so, they harvested the honey from it.
Yes.
So honey that was produced inside a tomb.
Fucking amazing. Oh, super.
It's the forbidden honey magical. Is so delicious. It's so good. It's kind of crystallized, but it's really, really. It's so, yeah. And then everybody else is like, oh shit, I want some.
I want some. Right.
I just thought it was like a cartoon though, where I was like, oh, and so this honey, you can try some if you want. And everyone just was like, I was like, as you're shoving it in your mouth.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And licking your fingers. Oh, just FYI, it's forbidden graveyard honey. And everyone's like, oh, it's so delicious. It's even more delicious now that I know.
See, everybody's a witch. That's amazing. I love it. Okay.
And then I held up the little thing of wine. And I said, this is your blood, which courses through your veins and intoxicates your lovers. And people were like, ooh la la. So some people wanted a little sip of the wine because they were like, that sounds pretty cool.
I want that. Yeah.
And then finally I said, this is your flesh, Makene, which contains your spirit and beguiles your initiates.
Ooh.
And so at that point, people could have a mushroom snack. They could eat their psychedelic mushrooms. They could have one of each. And so then that was basically kind of it. We just sort of hung out for a little bit. People wanted to eat the honey and the wine, and people were really fascinated by the mushroom snacks because they were pretty delish.
What was the overall, like, did you get a bunch of feedback?
I had a bunch of people tell me right after or the day, like, the next day that they really, really enjoyed the ritual, which is very sweet. Obviously, no one, you know, they had to go out of their way to bring it up, so... Well, and I like mean, I said, everybody stayed. We had a couple of people who sort of wandered in and did it. A bunch of people just saying, I've never done anything like that before.
Well, I was going to ask you, really, do you think you're maybe really one of the only people that, I mean, not the only, but do you think you're, you know, kind of unique in this, in doing this at these like wasteland or burn, like, you know,
I think there's like a lot of witchy or pagan adjacent people. Sure. One of my new friends, one of my campmates, which was someone I had never met before, she's super witchy. So the morning, Saturday morning, we all got up early to, like, you know, drink our coffee and like hang out and put on our makeup. And she had brought several different pendulums that she's been playing around with. And she brought some oracle cards. So we were doing sort of like oracle and tarot show and tell. And so there's definitely a lot of people that are like pagan or witchy or whatever.
Sure.
But I think that unless not a lot of people belong to covens and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think not a lot of people have experience going to any kind of ritual.
Yeah.
Or if they do, it's like a super public ritual, you know, where it's like very anonymous and it's like 100 people or something.
Right.
I love because this honestly, idea like I've been
like, I love that you're doing this. I think it's great. And I think it's something new and fresh that, that the people that you go with have not seen. Cause you don't, it's not this, is it the same group of people, the Wasteland people?
No.
And the, okay.
It's a core of people, but, I would say probably like a fourth people that have been that did the other one, and then the fourth people that are totally new to me or
So you're bringing it to new people. That's neat.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, and I think also there's just not a lot of witchcraft rituals that are going on in public, like that you could just. And that's why I mean we've loved going to things like Pantheacon because when are you? In most situations, you couldn't just show up to a ritual. These would be either things that you would have to be a member of this group.
Right.
Or, you know, these are things that are being done in private homes. And honestly, I mean, I've been doing witchcraft since I was like five. And I didn't really start doing these big rituals until in the last until the last 10 years.
Right.
When I moved into my house and like made a concerted effort. And it was something I think that our rituals have a very specific flavor.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way we write, the symbols that we've chosen to incorporate, the things that I've chosen to emphasize or steps that I purposely discard. So I mean, it's not like you can just pick up a Wicca 101 book or go to some pagan gathering of hippies or something and see this ritual. Like,
well, so, I think that's an, and I think, you know, since we're on that topic about like, you know, writing rituals and having a plan for rituals, it's a really good like tip for our listeners. It's like, there's nothing that you have to stick to. Don't feel like you are in this box of, I must cast a circle. Not saying that anything's wrong if you want to, like, but just like, I don't experiment and find your own flavor. Cause I know we really did. And these kind of, what I like about you doing these rituals at places like Wasteland and interviews is this gives you your whole, like it takes you into another level of your writing and planning of these rituals. And it's got to be a fun exercise for you. I mean, maybe a little bit stressful, but also just like fucking cool, you know, stuff that you might have never, like you may have never written a mushroom goddess ritual had you not been going to a thing that was specifically themed around mushrooms.
Oh, definitely.
But like, why didn't
we? Well, and knowing that I was doing it for a group of people that either don't have any kind of background with this, may or may not have been under the influence.
Right.
You know, and that was trying to evoke a vibe, like create a little world or, you know, create a little bit of theater that blended into the rest of this very surreal context.
Right.
So I knew that I wanted it to really be more about a vibe.
Right.
And describing this mushroom goddess and like having people sort of get a feel for like who she is and like what and really evoke this. There's like a little bit of danger, but not too much, you know,
right.
Kind of not it's more not than like this event in general.
Right.
But like, it's a little mischievous, like it's a little edgy, but it's also kind of fun and like spooky ooky. And
it's not like you're like doing some kind of, you know, death goddess ritual that would be super serious.
Yeah.
Like something that we would do. Right. Right.
Which I mean, honestly, the rituals that we've been to that have been like super dark and super serious, like were fucking great.
Amazing. Right.
But
maybe not for everybody. Maybe not for people that, you know.
But I still want it to be witchy enough that people are like, ooh, this is like a little naughty. Like, I don't know if I want to stay for this. This might get like creepy and I might feel like I need to leave. Like,
I bet you didn't wear your fucking hat for this, did you?
No, I did not.
I was going to say, how could you?
But
trying to get close to somebody and bonk. Anyway.
Writing it, however, like I said, I had a lot of writing that I had generated. So a big part of trying to do this ritual was to edit it down.
Sure.
Because I just felt like it was so much.
Yeah.
And really trying to hone in on words that I thought would be evocative. And I talked a little bit about this when I talked about the Wasteland ritual, but we have certain words or names or adjectives that I just feel like are very dark and goth and witchy and just sound badass.
Always.
And I wanted to include that because I think, you know, I'm not trying to whitewash stuff or make it sanitized or not freak people out. I was like, if I'm going to do a witchcraft ritual, it's
going
to be witchy.
Little.
And I want people to like think that it's like a little freaky. So, you know, things like a widow of decay.
Sure.
Or like, you know, beguiles her lover. You know, just the idea that like the language, the words I'm choosing to use are really packed with meaning. And but on the other hand, it's not too wordy, it's not too dense, I'm
right.
not using too many words in succession that would be things that people are not familiar with.
Right.
Like it's one thing to have like aspergillum in there, but if I had like a whole list of these like esoteric tools that are like in Latin,
then that's
people
just
would
put,
be like,
that's off-putting. Right
yeah. But I think having a little bit of it is fun.
No, it's
like,
great.
Oh, I just learned a new word.
Exactly.
So that's a balance for me, is like not being too wordy.
Right.
Or picking the right word, but not having it be a really obscure word that actually no one knows the meaning of.
Right. Right.
And also to that point, I did, when I was playing around with the Bing thing, I was asking for like invocations to the mushroom goddess or like other names. And it did supply me with some. It supplied me with several that I didn't end up using. Mm-hmm. But I ended up using, they gave me Personette, the maiden in the tower, who's like kind of an obscure Arthurian character.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan Le Fay,
sure.
And then Mim, who actually, we talked about Mim because I dressed up like her.
Right.
For 31 Days of Witches. And she's in Sword of the Stone. And she's basically like Morgan or the stock, like, witch sorceress character.
Right.
But I don't know where the name Mim actually comes from, if it was from that. Mistress of Transformation, because the whole thing in the cartoon is that she and Merlin get into a transformation off.
Oh.
To show off their powers.
There you go.
But I thought that was... So I need to like go back it, because I was like, these are perfect, you know, and like I like having some like obscure references or words or names.
Sure. Yeah.
So that people are like, ooh, what's that about?
What is that?
Because I know
right.
that like I would be totally into that if I came to somebody's little ritual.
Same. And you'd be like looking it up later. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think also that helps with giving out the little ritual booklets.
You said another one. Mykonai?
Mykonai, that is a Greek word. It has to do with, I kept getting that one a lot from these generated things,
mm-hmm.
but it's the, originally the word, she was a nymph of spring,
mm-hmm.
and of the town Mykonai, which is in southern Greece, and there's several stories about her, but she's associated with mushrooms.
Okay.
And
all right.
And the city of Mycenae. So,
I was gonna say I knew the city, but I didn't know the nymph. So neat.
Yeah, well I had never known of her being associated with mushrooms necessarily.
Right.
But it's also used in several like Linnaean taxonomical, but as an adverb,
right? That
yes, that. But anyway, so I just kept it because I thought that was
It sounds fucking cool.
An interesting.
That
reference.
Was the one that grabbed me. I was like, woo. I need to look that up.
I mean, some of the other ones were really obvious. Like, it was like Fungalia. And I was like, that's
no.
fucking dumb.
Right.
No. There were a lot of rejects.
Sure.
But some of
oh, yeah.
stuff
but that's half the fun. I mean, I haven't done it yet. But I mean, I think it's fun to, like you said, a jumping off point. for, you know, ritual writing and like then edit down from there. So, yeah, but a great exercise, I think. I don't know. It sounds like it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So that was my little mushroom ritual.
I love it. I love it. Is there anything else you want to tell us about this entire like mushroom good time? Did you have a good time? Before the car.
One of the things, well, before the mushroom ritual, I ended up, they have like a little bathhouse, like some like little public showers and restrooms and stuff. So I took a shower in the morning and that was glorious. Mm-hmm. And then it was cool. And I ended up laying down in my tent and putting on my headphones and just listening to some like psychedelic doom stoner metal.
Nice.
And vibing out for a little bit. Yeah. Cause I don't know. I just felt like, cause I had been basically nonstop since Thursday, either been setting up my tent, setting up the camp, putting on makeup, getting in a costume, walking, like just being constantly around people.
Yeah.
And I just kind of needed to decompress. But the thing that this doesn't actually have anything to do with magic, but it should, because it was magical.
Okay.
Is I got this heated sleep mask.
Ooh.
This little sleep mask, and it's got three heat settings, but it also has three vibration settings.
Okay. I need this ASAP.
And so it'll be like in different spots around your eyes, mm-hmm. because I've been having terrible allergies and my eyes are swelling up. And when I sleep, I get really, really puffy eyes because I've got all this fluid. And mm-hmm. so I was sitting there with the heated thing on and my headphones in. I'm just vibing. And it was weird because it was almost like the vibrations would like sync up with the music I was listening to.
Yeah.
And I had this feeling of almost like it was like Morse code, like coding the music into my face. I don't know.
Oh my God.
And obviously it feels amazing. And like
and you definitely were not high. I mean, I know you weren't, but still.
I was a little bit high and drunk, but
I mean, hey, that's fine. Hey, question.
Answers.
Give me a stat, text me the information on that eye mask. But so like in general, would you like this is such a great theme. Like I worry that they can't top this theme. But but I think like this is now like I hate to say, but like all of these that you go to now, I think you're going to have to do a ritual because I'm going to demand it. I mean, are you kind of like the ritual person now? Kind of.
Well, last year Atomic Falls, because I didn't do, it wasn't last year, it was the year before last, because I didn't do one last year.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I don't know if I might resurrect the original one with some alterations.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
That's just, I guess it's probably theme dependent maybe, or like just how you feel about the people and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still cool.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah, sure.
And
writing, making little books, like, yeah.
Yeah, doing like the little crafting of it and everything.
Yeah.
And it's always stressful because, you know, you're on like hippie burner time. So
sure. Yeah.
Trying to wrangle everybody and get everyone to like to stay still and not wander off while you're waiting for people that have wandered off to come back. Like,
yeah,
that's honestly the most stressful thing is getting everyone together to start.
It's like, hey, can we do this now? Right. Exactly. Yeah. But it's but anyway, I am glad you did it because it's fascinating to me and I love to hear about these things because I am now probably, I mean, I know I'm not too old to do anything, but like
you are not too old to
I know, but I also am not paying anybody $500. So I will not.
Well, this
I don't want to
$55.
Dude, I don't want to go to the desert. I will die in the desert. No, thank you. I mean, it looks cool, but like it's okay. A regional one would be better for me anyway. But also that it also sounds exhausting. So I don't know. But I would love to go to your mushroom ritual. It sounded so cool.
Well, I definitely think that there's a lot more to explore with the mushrooms. Like,
yeah.
I have mushrooms that are in my yard. I also had a bunch of material that I ended up not using for this, which was I was working on a lot of lore and chants and things for dealing with fae. Like, so if you feel like you have gotten trapped in a mushroom ring or lured to fairy or enchanted in some way,
right,
or have gotten lost, because that was an experience I had several times walking around the grounds.
Yeah.
Just because, one, things look way different at night than they do during the day. Because,
sure.
Because everything's got lights and people are wearing different outfits. Like, it just looks completely different.
Yeah.
And then you're wandering around in the woods. And there were several times where you feel like you're getting, like, turned around or you just walked around in a circle and didn't even know it and stuff like that. So there was definitely, like, a fae vibe happening of sort of harmless or mischievous weirdness,
like just gonna get you lost just for fun. Right.
Yeah. So I had a bunch of stuff about returning from fairy or getting protection from fairy or whatever. Mm-hmm. That I ended up not using. And then also there's just so much fascinating stuff about mushrooms and fungus that I just really didn't get into at all. Like, I love, like, this is cutting edge, you know, microbiology right now, the discovery of vast mycelial networks.
Yep.
Like, this is something that was discovered, like, fairly recently.
Right.
This idea that, like, fungus basically has a crazy sophisticated, like, almost like an internet.
Right.
Where using chemical signals, fungus can communicate to itself, but also to other plants in the network.
Yep.
And other plants in this network can communicate to each other.
Right.
So using the mycelial network, like a tree or something that is being attacked by boring bugs or something, bugs that bore holes into it.
Not boring bugs.
Interesting.
Right.
But they can send signals to other trees to be like, uh-oh, there's insects coming. So you need to deploy your insect repellent pheromones or saps or whatever that
right.
Deter bugs. Or,
crazy.
You know, this tree over here is not getting enough direct sunlight. Like, we're going to pass some, like, phytochemicals over to it. Or I saw this thing about a stump. Like, somebody had cut down this tree, but the roots were still alive and still connected to the mycelial network.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't photosynthesize because it didn't have any leaves because it was just a stump, but it stayed alive for a long time because the other trees were feeding it.
That is my fucking dream. What?
Crazy. Like there's no advantage to the rest of the forest to do that other than just they have enough resources to go around.
They just want to. Yeah.
And they just want to.
Totally unlike humanity. Good job, trees. showing humanity up for millions of years.
But there's just so much interesting stuff about the way mushrooms work and we don't know about them and things we're learning and just metaphors and, like, literal cool fun facts about it. So there's a lot. And plus, I told everybody in our group because we had so much fun and we made such fun costumes and everything. And I was like, we need to just do a mushroom themed camp for the next event that we're at because I want to use all this stuff again.
Sure. So. Well, and just, I am interested in exploring mushroom magic, too, just by hearing about this. So, yeah, you've got me interested. I will read some shit. This was awesome. Thank you for sharing this whole experience. This is really great. I hope everybody really gets something out of it. I sure did. I love hearing about your experiences doing these things because it's so unique and it's so different. And it's way... I like the fact that it's not, like, commercial, you know, that's, like, my favorite part about these things you go to is it's really, like, we're hanging out, but it is also an experience. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for talking to me about it. I hope all that made sense. And really my main takeaway to offer you and the listeners is just... kind of my process and things that I try to be aware of doing a ritual that I think would be good pointers for either anyone that's doing a semi-public ritual or even just a private one, considerations that you might not originally think of in terms of like logistics or props or blocking
or
how
just
much
like
text to have or not, just sort of practical things that I've noticed that work or didn't work, And yeah.
So no, I think it's great. No, I really appreciate it. So awesome. Okay. Well, shit. Until next time.
Hocus pocus, bitches.
I don't know. The clap felt necessary. What do I know? Bing bong.